All right, so our topic today is aletheia and community, which is obviously a follow-up to what we talked about last Sunday and the soaking time that we had last Sunday. But a quick recap for all of us to bring us on the same page again. As you know, we are doing a short series, the transition of the year, ending 24, looking ahead at 25. And as you know, we have a bit of a different service format during this time. So shorter messages, but then we'll give time in the end first for soaking, each of us hearing from God ourselves, what he wants to say to us, and then sharing with each other. And for those of us who were here last Sunday, I thought it was beautiful how God gave similar words to different people, and as everybody shared, we really saw how God spoke clearly to us what he wants to do in our midst. We started the series with New Year's resolutions. Many people make big commitments on January 1st, but then they fail. Even Christians, many Christians make great commitments, but then they can't follow up. And then we looked at what the solution is. Psalm 127, unless God works in us, then we labor in vain. Jesus in John 5 said, I can do nothing by myself. I can only do what I see my Father do. And that must be our attitude instead of having our own ideas and our own plans for a new year or for a season and then pursuing them and then God not really being there with us. Instead, what we need to do is first we need to hear God's word. We need to hear God's will. We need to hear what God wants to achieve in our lives. And then once we hear that, then we know that when we pursue that, he will make it happen. And we will be successful in that. Last week, then, we put that into practice. We spent some time soaking and asking God, God, what do you want to achieve in this church? What do you want to achieve in Aletheia in 25? And the word that we got was community. Strengthening, investing in and strengthening our community relationships. We should aim to become more like a Book of Acts type of church community. And we were obviously not very concrete yet when it comes to the how. But the word, the general direction was very clear. God wants us to invest in our community relationships in this season of this church. We'll go deeper on that, and we will talk about the how today, and we will soak on the how, the concrete steps, but the general direction is very clear. God is saying to us, invest in our relationships, invest in our community. Now, before we go into that, I want to say one more thing. I was reflecting on this a little bit over on our discussions over the last few days, and there was one word that I think God gave me as well. There is a tendency in us to say we do either inreach or outreach. And there is a tendency then in us to say, okay, if community is our focus, then let's forget about other people. And I think that can, taken to the extreme, can be very unhealthy. Because to be honest, I've seen groups, not here, but in other churches, in other communities, I've seen groups that took it to the extreme. And they were so inward focused that you just couldn't get it out of their culture any longer to really reach out. A church is to reach out all the time. There's no such thing as a church that is only inward focused, because that is not healthy and that is not a biblical church at all. The problem is if we now say, okay, let's invest in our community first and then when we are ready, then we can do outreach. The problem is, when are we there? When did we reach that level, let's say 1 to 10, when do we reach level 8 so that we can say now we are ready to do outreach? And that can really become a very unhealthy kind of culture. We will never be perfect. We will chase a moving target. And the danger here is really that 10 years from now, we will still do inreach because we still don't feel ready. Now, I do agree, maybe it's not the time to do a massive outreach. Maybe it's not the time for us to say, let's go to Marienplatz and invite 100 people. And then next Sunday here, instead of 10, 15 people, we are 100 people, and then we can't take care of them because it's just too overwhelming. I agree, it's not that season. Maybe that's not what we are supposed to do right now. But nevertheless, Jesus made it very clear in Matthew 28, go you therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach all nations. Every church at any time is supposed to do outreach. And we can't just say, oh, we are not ready at all. So what I'm trying to say is, let's continue what we've been doing so far. Let's continue inviting friends. Let's continue spreading the word. Let's continue being ready, telling our colleagues, telling our classmates, telling our neighbors, hey, I'm part of this church. Would you want to join as well? That is healthy. And that is a good thing to do at all times. So we are going to have the community lunch in February. We are going to have the guys gathering. We are going to have the ladies gathering and these kind of things. So please, don't think like, oh, we are not ready for outreach, so I'm not going to invite my friends for now. I'm going to do that in 3 months, in 6 months. That's not the right attitude that we should have. So let's continue doing what we've been doing for many months or maybe even years, spreading the word individually, inviting our friends and these kind of things, while at the same time we also invest and focus primarily on our community relationships. And then one day we will be ready to say, let's go to Marienplatz or whatever kind of outreach. And one day we will be ready to do a big outreach. But in the meantime, let's keep on inviting our friends. So that's one thing that I felt I needed to say today before we go into an unhealthy kind of inreach or unhealthy way of focusing on our community. So with that addition to last week, let's talk about community. I want to remind us quickly of what biblical community looks like. And then we're going to go into a time of soaking, hearing from God individually and as a church, what does it practically mean, what God has been speaking to us last week. First of all, biblical community means that we share life with each other. Philippians 2, verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. A community is not a community if everyone is mainly concerned about me and my needs. That's not what we are supposed to be like. We are supposed to be a community that, yeah, we take care of our own needs, but in the same way, we also take care of other people's needs. Galatians 6, bear you one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Each one of us has burdens, each one of us has problems, each one of us has issues, each one of us has things that we can't fix ourselves, that we can't solve ourselves. The Bible tells us, as part of the community, help each other carry their burdens. Help each other in their problems, be there for each other, support each other. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, therefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as you also do. And the NIV, I think it says, edify, it says, encourage one another. So what I'm trying to say is a biblical community is not the kind of community that comes here on Sunday at 10:30, and then we spend some time together, we worship together, we listen to a sermon together, and then we chat for another 30 minutes, and then see you next Sunday at 10:30 again. That's not a biblical community. A biblical community is a community where we know what's going on in each other's lives. Where we are able to say, you know, obviously not publicly, but at least in the back of our minds, we can say, hey, I know your problems. I know what you're going through right now. I know the issues that you're facing right now. I know the problems that you have with your family right now. I know that you're looking for a job right now. I know that you have a real issue with your neighbor right now. I know maybe you have legal problems or whatever. I know what's going on in your life, and I'm part of that. You're not alone. I know how I can pray for you, and I know how I can care for you. In a biblical community, we know what's going on in other people's lives. In a biblical community, we encourage each other. We don't tear each other down. We don't condemn each other, but we lift each other up. We encourage each other, and we pray for each other. And we can say when we spend time with each other afterwards, hopefully we feel better than before. Because as we encourage each other and as the Holy Spirit speaks through us, we can lift each other up and we can support each other. Helping. Someone says, I am in financial crisis right now. I'm moving right now. I need practical help. Then in a biblical community, we are there and we can say, you know what? I'll make time next Saturday. I'll help you paint the walls in your apartment. I'll help you carry this stuff. I'll help you with the move that you're facing. Whatever it might be, we are there for each other. We know the needs that other people have, where other people really struggle right now. We are there when other people face difficulties and problems. We share life experiences. We are able to say, you know, the situation that you are going through right now, 5 years ago I was in a similar situation, and this is what I did, and maybe it helps you get through the season as well. Whatever it might be. A biblical community is a community where we share life with one another. Are we there yet? Probably not. I think we can grow in this area. And maybe God is whispering to some of us that this is where I want you to invest in right now. Share life with other people. Related to sharing life, the Bible also commands us to share resources. James 2. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man says he has faith and has not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, yet you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Hebrews 13. But to do good and to share, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Acts 2, that's how they lived in the early church. All that believed were together and had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, and distributed them to all men as every man had need. What is the example of the New Testament? Share your resources. Share your money with one another. Share clothes with one another. Share your homes with one another. When there is a person who has needs and you have the physical goods, the physical possessions that the other person needs, share it with the other person. When we know the needs of other people, then we also know how we can support them. And when we know how other people can be supported, then we can also get an idea, maybe I have some resources that the other person needs more than I do right now. And maybe God wants me to share. I know we are living in a very individualistic society here in Germany, where people are very distant from each other and where, yeah, your problems are your problems, I have my own problems, and you don't bother me with yours and I don't bother you with mine. That's kind of the mindset of the culture here. Everyone works for himself, everyone has to provide for himself, you have to provide for your own retirement and all these things, and yeah, if you didn't do your job, your problem. I know that's what culture is trying to say us, but God is having a different solution, at least within the church. Share your resources with one another. Every one of us has a lack in one area, and we have an abundance in another area. Everyone. And we're not just talking about money now. Anything. We have something where we have a lot, where we can share easily. And maybe our abundance is someone else's need. And maybe as we share our abundance, we can meet someone else's need. Maybe someone else has an abundance in an area where we ourselves have a need, and then they can help us. That's how the community is supposed to work. That's how a church is supposed to work. Share your resources, and if you have abundance in one area, and as we related to the previous point, as we know what's going on in other people's lives and we know their needs and we see our own abundance, we can share that and we can support one another. Another area the Bible clearly commands us is hospitality. Now, of course, there are two types of hospitality. We can show hospitality to non-Christians, to bring them in. That's outreach. That's one type. But what we are focusing on today, obviously, is inreach, meaning hospitality to one another within the church. 1 Peter 4, above all things, have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover a multitude of sins. Practice hospitality one to another without grudging. So clearly here, Peter is telling us, open your home for the other people of the church community. Romans 12, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Hebrews 13, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So what is the theme of the New Testament? Open your home. Be hospitable to the church community, also to others, but our focus right now is open your home to one another as part of the church community. Invite people to your homes. Invite people to have a meal together, maybe in a restaurant or something like that. Invite people and say, let's have a coffee together at my home, or we go to Starbucks or whatever. That's not the main point. The point is be hospitable. Meeting each other just to catch up, inviting people to play video games or having a game night at your place or something like that. Hospitality is a vital element to a healthy church community. And maybe God is speaking to some of us saying, hey, be more proactive in this area. Invite people to your home. Initiate having coffees with people and these kind of things. Be hospitable. Invite people. Spend time with people and just initiate these kind of meals together or, yeah, fun times together, whatever it might mean, be. Next, the Bible also is very clear to us. Pray for each other. Again, we are to pray for ourselves. We are to pray for non-Christians around us and everything. But the focus here for today is praying for each other within the church community. Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thus with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And where does that start with all saints? It starts with our own community. James 5, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Part of being in a church community means we pray for one another. And not just on Sunday when someone says, please pray for me, and then we pray and then we forget about it, but we pray for one another on a regular basis. It's part of our devotion, it's part of our prayer life, that it's not just all about me, my job, my career, my family, my problems, but part of this time that we spend with God is also to pray for one another in the church community. 1 Timothy 2, I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Praying for each other is a vital element of a healthy church. Praying for the church as a whole, like what we are doing right now. We are seeking God about what is God's plan for this church, what is God's vision, what does he want us to do. And then, of course, we pray that this will come true and it's actually going to happen. So we pray for the church as a whole, as a group of people. Of course, that also includes praying for individuals. Praying for someone who is looking for a job right now, who is having a test this coming week, who is having problems right now, who maybe has to have surgery or something like that. Praying for what other people within the church are going through right now. Prayer is a key element to a godly community. And maybe God is whispering to some of us right now, and he's saying, this is your calling, this is what I want you to do. I want you to dedicate more time praying for the people within the community, praying for the church. So these are some topics that we can ask God if he wants us to, if he wants to say something to us. Obviously, this list is much longer. I could talk here for a whole month on what a healthy community looks like, but I wanted to limit it here because if it's too broad, then it gets too chaotic. So I wanted to focus on these main elements. This is what a godly community looks like, and this is what I believe. Yeah, this is God's will for us, how he wants us to relate to one another. Now, before we go into the soaking, let me share two specific topics that apply to our church here at Aletheia right now. The first one is really the topic of small group. I know we talked about it for a while, but I feel stronger about it than ever before. If we want to be serious here about community, if we want to be serious about really becoming, having deeper relationships with each other and becoming stronger in our community, one of the key elements is that we all commit to being part of the small group. I know some of us have small kids. I know it's difficult. I know we are all busy. I know we have other things. We have jobs and all kinds of things that are also important. And I know it's easy to consider small group as an optional element and saying, as long as I come on Sunday, I'm good. And when I have the time, then I come to the small group as well. But let's be honest. For those of us who have been here part of the church for a while, we've done online small group for the last 1-2 years, something like this. It's just not the same. And what I've seen is really that our relationships are not what they used to be in the past. Yeah, it was a different generation, and yes, of course, it was different people, all kinds of things. But an online small group just cannot replace the face-to-face interactions that we are supposed to have with one another. So if we are really serious about building community, if we are really serious about what God has been speaking to us last week, and if we are really serious about saying, yes, we want to have better community, we want to have better relationships with one another, then I think this is where we have to start. Let's make the small group work. And let's make sure that every one of us can be part of an in-person small group. Now, if that doesn't work because you have kids or something, we'll work something out. Maybe we say we take turns. And we say, okay, the mom comes this week, the dad comes next week, or something like that. So I understand that not everyone can be there every single week. I get that. But I think if we really want to build community, let's find ways to make the small group work again. And we can talk about that later, how that could work for us. So I think that's the first thing that we can tackle if we are really serious about community. Let's make the small group work, that everyone can be part of the small group. Second thing I want to say, and again, this is because many of you are new and you don't know the history. Around 5 years ago, we moved into this place, and back then, we really had the vision. We want this place to be a second home for everyone. We want this place to be an open place that all members can use at any time. When we moved in here, we said, we want this to be a place where people can just hang out. You tell me, hey, can we meet at the Aletheia place? I'm like, sure, here's the key, use it. Hang out here. Have dinner with one another. Have come here to pray for each other and just spontaneously have a prayer meeting or something like that, and we'll let you in. This is what this place is here for. We had this vision of, let's watch movie together, sports together, something like that. We have a nice TV here, we have a screen here and all these things. So if there's football or basketball or something that many people are interested in, this is a great place that you can just use. You just ask me for the key, you use it, you invite your friends. This is a place where we can spend time together, build community together. A place where we can have game nights, where we can just say, you know what, we just bring some board games, everyone, or some computer games or something like that. And then we just hang out here and we spend an evening together. Our vision was that this is a place that would be used at all times by all kinds of people from this community for all kinds of purposes. And then the crazy stuff, those of you who have been looking for an apartment in Munich, you know this is not really possible. I sent out 2 emails and we had this place. This does not happen, at least not in Munich. I applied for 2 places. One place I never heard back from, this was the second place. And then a few days later, we had the key in our hands. So clearly, God miraculously opened the door so that we could have this place. So that was the vision that we had when we moved to this place. And then, now looking back around 5 years later, we kind of see that this isn't really happening. For various reasons, and we can talk about it later with each other, why it's not happening, but the very purpose for which we originally rented this place is not really being practiced. Maybe it's a lack of communication, maybe it's something about this place, we can talk about this, but what we see is that it's not happening. So I think it's legitimate to ask the question, is this still the place that God wants us to be? Or should we consider moving to a different place? Should we consider moving somewhere else? The important thing is, like, as we looked at in Psalm 127, it's always easy to have human wisdom. And it's always easy to say, this place is too far out, or this place is wrong, or that is wrong, and then kind of use human wisdom and then move somewhere else just to realize things are not better over there than they have been here. So I think it's a legitimate question to ask God, do you still want us to be in this place, or do you want us to start looking for a new place? But we cannot use human wisdom. And we cannot just be like, I don't like it, or this is bad here. And then in our human wisdom, we just look for something else. Again, something we can ask God, and we can hear from God today or in the coming days and weeks if God is speaking to us. Of course, practically speaking, we can't use just any place. We have some very specific requirements that we need here. The one thing that, for me, that I will not compromise on, the entrance cannot be the worship room. Those kind of Ladenfläche or something, sometimes people say, why don't we do something very visible where it's a big glass window or something so everyone can see that this is a church? I'm not going to do that. Because if people just kind of curiously, in a curious way, just open the door while we are praying or something like that, it just ruins everything. So there are some very specific requirements, and we can talk about that later as well. And it's tricky to find this kind of place. But still, it's a legitimate question. Does God still want us to be there? And of course, I also want to be realistic and a little bit from past experience. If we consider moving, we need everybody's help. And I'm not talking about 2 hours one time or something like that. Those of us who have been moving in Munich, you know, we need to paint everything here. We need to tear down the couch, transport. The couch is the biggest, that's why I'm kind of using it. We have couch here, we have the fridge here, we have all kinds of stuff here. It all needs to be brought to a new place. Then we have to renovate here. We have to paint everything here, which is a lot of work. And then, of course, we have to install the new place as well. And then make sure that we have projector and screen and music instruments and everything, and set that all up in a new place again. What happened last time when we moved? There were some people that were committed. There were some people that helped. Some people did not really help. And as a result, for example, I had to empty out the old place all by myself because nobody else was available. I'm not going to do that again. So I just want to be realistic. On the one hand, we can say, I don't like this place. Let's move somewhere else. But if we are not all committed to saying, I'm going to practically help, then we are staying put. Then we are staying right here. So, and that has to go over several weekends. I would guess we will need 1 weekend to kind of carry everything out of here, 2nd weekend to renovate this place, and we need another weekend to set up the new place. So 3-4 days of practical work, something like that, over several weeks. That's what it would take to actually get into a new place. So I'm not trying to discourage anyone. I'm not trying to say, hey, let's not move. If God tells us to move, fine, let's do it. But then we truly need everybody's help and everybody's commitment in saying, let's make it work together. Because I'm not willing to just do what, if nobody else is helping, then for me to do all the work. All right, so these are two practical things related to community that I wanted to mention. One is the small group, and one is this place, and these are also questions that we can ask God if he wants to say anything to us about these two things. So, with that being said, let's spend some time soaking. Let's spend some time hearing from God what he wants to say to us personally, what he wants to say to us as a church, and then after that we can share with each other what we hear him say. How does God want us to practically go about strengthening our community relationships? That's the word that we heard last week, strengthen your relationships with one another. The follow-up question now is, how do we do this practically? What happens to the small group? How can we make it work that we can all meet for small group in person, again, like we did in the past? What about prayer? What about sharing life? What about sharing resources? What about hospitality? How does God want us to live out what he spoke to us last week in practical terms? What is God saying to us as a church? What kind of activities or programs does God want us to start to be a stronger community? And what is he saying to us personally? What is our personal contribution that God has for each and every one of us so that we can strengthen our relationships with each other? So let's spend some time soaking. Let's spend some time listening to God. After that, we can share, and then we can pray with and for each other. God, thank you for this word that you've given us in community. Thank you for speaking to us, and thank you for helping us hear what you want from us. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us today to really take the next step, that we will not just stop there and not just kind of be stuck with this huge word of community and not really knowing how to go about it. But we pray, Lord, that today you will give us clarity, you will give us understanding, you will give us wisdom, and you will help us, Lord, see what you want to say to us practically. Help us understand your will for this church. Help us understand your will for each of us individually. And help us to become the community that you want us to be. So speak to us as we seek to hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen.